The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch, and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely, and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations, nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. I kind of have to admit, I struggled a little with this homily, so here goes. But when we were children, one of the things my mom was always saying to us is, "To those who much has been given, much will be required." And I don't know if that's one of those things you maybe shouldn't lay on top of a little kid when they're growing up. Maybe that's why my older brother and I are both priests. I don't know. Maybe that's the magic line to get vocations. But it is a kind of a tall order, isn't it? To say, well, if you've been given much, much is required. If you've been given more than much, even more will be required. There's kind of not an if or in that thing. It's an if and an and. But when we were kids, we didn't really think about that in terms of money, certainly because we were not wealthy at all growing up. I guess we thought about it in terms of gifts and talents. Certainly knowledge, those who are given knowledge are given a gift of knowledge in order to use it for the good of others. I think also sometimes the most underrated gift is common sense. As my dad always used to say, that's the thing about common sense, it's not so common, right? Well, last week we were asked to reflect on what our treasure is, and if we are putting together, if we're gathering together treasure that's important in the eyes of God from the perspective of heaven. I talked a little bit about how sad it is sometimes when I see families split up over inheritance of things from parents when they die, how sometimes people are willing to give up even the relationships, which are our real inheritance from our parents, We give up those relationships just for things themselves. So I was thinking, well, you know, what is our inheritance then? And actually somebody this week asked me that question. What is our inheritance? And so I've been thinking about that a lot this week. And if I were to tell you the simplest answer, probably the one that we all know but we don't think about, the inheritance that you and I have received from God that is important in the eyes of God from the perspective of heaven is faith, hope, and love. Seems like kind of a simple question, like too easy, isn't it, for your CCD quiz in high school? But faith, hope, and love, those gifts that we've received, which we could not have had on our own, which I'm afraid we underrate and underuse so much in our lives. The gift involves the revelation of God. It's the promise of God. Since the time of Abraham, we hear that in the second reading today. The gift is the redemption brought about by the offering of Christ himself in our place for us and for our salvation. It is reconciliation. It is justification. It is the gift that we cannot receive by doing anything, but only through the absolute, unconditional love of God. So if that is in fact our inheritance, then there is a certain level of behavior that's required of us, that we must live in order to live into those gifts. And I think it's very simple, and the readings today tend to say that the response, the appropriate response to that is simply for us to be attentive, that we have to live in hope in that promise that we've received, like Abraham himself, who went out to a land that was not his own. It was kind of an irony, isn't it? Because he was sent out into a land that was already promised to him as a foreigner, the writer to the Hebrews says. He went out as a foreigner in the land that had already been given to him because he didn't know that land. It was something that had just been given to him. He believed in the promise despite his and Sarah's inability to have children, the promise of it, of descendants numerous as stars in the sky. He believed in the promise despite God's request for him to offer that miracle child, Isaac, as a sacrifice. Somehow he knew that God was going to fulfill that promise, even if God is asking him to do this terrible thing. So that's where we come to the gospel today, where it says we are to behave accordingly as we await the return of the Master. Now, he must have been at quite a party because he's coming at the second and third watch in the night, which means like 3 in the morning, perhaps. He expects us still to be vigilant and ready. It's interesting, I think, as our music director was telling me yesterday, basically what Jesus is saying is get your pants on and keep your flashlight charged, right? This is the modern language. Be ready when he comes. Don't be caught off guard. Be vigilant on arrival. And Luke uses this Exodus theme, I think it's an Exodus theme anyway, from the Passover, the night of the Passover, when the Israelites were instructed to be fully dressed and ready to travel with their lamps in their hand while they ate the Passover meal, poised to flee with their belts around their waist, with their sandals on their feet, and their staff in hand. They were to eat the meal hurriedly. God knew what was coming, didn't he? But they did not. And it was their vigilance that saved them. So there's an urgency to this message. And in the Gospel of Luke, where we find ourselves right now, is right in the middle of the Gospel of Luke. We've already had the Galilean ministry. Now we're on that journey to Jerusalem, which is a large part of the Gospel of St. Luke. We're right in the middle of that. They're on the road, and Jesus is telling them to be watchful, to be ready for what is to come. When they get to Jerusalem, where the second Passover is going to take place at the Last Supper, he asks them to watch carefully for signs along the journey, not only those alongside the road, but I believe also the ones that are in their hearts. What's going on inside of you during this time of waiting? That you are to become more aware of the beliefs and values by which you live, and you are to try to be free from the enslavement that comes from mindless living. So many people we know who are sleepwalking through life, right? There's a vigilance that's required of us. Pay attention and attentiveness. I'm going to read those two again because I thought this was pretty good. We are to become more aware of the beliefs and values by which we live, and we are to try to be free from the enslavement that comes from mindless living. And when that day comes, Jesus says, the master will gird himself and ask you to be seated at that table, and he will serve you. The roles will be reversed, right? Well, Jesus, who's speaking, has already reversed those roles, hasn't he? Because the Lord of all has become the servant of all, and he's the one who speaks. And he says that this is how he describes the kingdom. This is what the life will be like in the promised land to come, is that we will be seated at the table and we will be served. But the servant who knew the master's will but made no preparations, not only will he not inherit the promise, but he will know the tragedy of loss. Notice here, this is not a mentality of God's punishment. A lot of times people think, well, how could God punish someone in that way? It's not punishment. It simply is a reality of the emptiness which that servant allowed to happen while he was waiting for the master to return. So let us pray today for that ability as we travel on this journey to watch carefully, to be attentive, to recognize the signs along the way, and to be grateful as we actively live out the gifts that we've received of faith, hope, and love.